The following podcast is brought to you by the Communication and Media Studies Department at Dominican University, California. I am your host, Mr. Sleep, and welcome to Clawing Through the Mask, the show where I look into the true stories that keep you up at night. Start off our great podcast series. Today we're going to be talking about The Exorcist. And for those who don't know The Exorcist, it's a 1973 American supernatural horror film directed by William Friedkin and is written based on his 1971 novel of the same name. William Friedkin directs one of the most horrifying movies ever made, when a charming 12-year-old girl takes on the characteristics and voices of others. Doctors say there's nothing they can do, but as soon as people begin to die, the girl's mother realizes her daughter has been possessed by the devil. Daughter's only possible hope lies with two priests and an ancient rite of demonic exorcisms. That's a quick summary of the story, but it's a lot more symbolism and sightings behind it, but that's just a quick summary of it because I don't want to spoil it. But if you don't want to listen to me, I have some information relating to December of 1973 when it released. The release of The Exorcist was into 24 theaters in the United States and Canada in late December of 1973, like I said. The audience flocked to, despite mixed reviews, waiting in long lines during winter weathers, many more than once, because some people really enjoyed this film. Some viewers suffered physical reactions, such as fainting or vomiting, heart attacks, and miscarriages were reported among viewers. This movie did not get a lot of good publicity because of these stories. A psychiatric journalist published a paper on cinematic neurosis triggered by the film. Many children were allowed to see it, leading to charges by the MPAA. Ratings boards have accompanied Warner Brothers by giving the film an R rating instead of what parents believed was the X rating they thought it deserved. In order to ensure its commercial success, though, several cities attempted to ban it or outright prevent children from attending the movie, because people did not like their children seeing this. And my parents, in fact, did see it at a young age, which also kind of made them, they did not enjoy this film. And still think this is one of the scariest horror films to this day. So early on, some crazy stuff. The reason why a lot of people don't like The Exorcist is because a lot of stuff did happen on set, or stuff happened by the time it premiered and a few weeks after its premiere. That makes the film actually quite scary. So we're going to talk about that. So early on, the set in New York, where the house is set for the interiors of the McNeil house, it was actually destroyed by a fire, starting when a bird flew into the circuit breaker, with the exception of Regan's room. Regan is the girl who we follow throughout the main film, remained unharmed, so did not catch. It was the only one that did not catch flame, which kind of makes it kind of scary if you think about it, since that is the child who is possessed. And when the house caught flame, that was the only room that did not catch flames or be engulfed in flames. So production was delayed by 6 weeks while it was being revealed. Later, another set was severely damaged when the sprinkler system activated, and that was another two-week delay, resulting when the 10-foot, also in 3-meter statue of Pazuzu, who is the demon that possesses the child, was shipped to Hong Kong instead of Iraq. So a lot of these are just kind of coincidental accidents that could have been caused by supernatural causes, or could have just been malfunctions on the team. But it's still kind of scary to think that it happened on this film. But if you don't believe that that is supernatural, there are lots of deaths that have been tied to this film. I believe it's around 9 deaths so far that have been tied to the film. Among the cast, McGowan died a week after completing his scenes as Dennings with the character's death. So actually, one of the characters who died in the film, their character died in real life. So that's kind of scary. Malarios also passed away, like her character. Malarios, I believe, was the mother of the main priest we follow. Before the film was even finished, she died, and her character also dies. So death among the crew was very common, including the night watchman and the operator of the refrigerator system for Regan's room, along with the assistant cameraman's newborn child. Concern among the production was significant enough that Friedkin asked Father Thomas Burningham to perform an exorcism on set. So it got to the point where the cast wanted to have a real life exorcism on the scene just because it was getting too out of hand. So Bernie Hans instead blessed the cast and the crew, believing that the actual exorcism would only make the cast more anxious, which would make it a real life, because if you don't know, exorcisms do get very intense by what's happening, just because it's a very scary thing that's happening and people take it very seriously. So if someone's just playing around, they the priest will always take it seriously. So when it came to that, they were very serious about it, but they didn't want to upright and scare everyone. So they just did a blessing on the crew and finished their scenes. But after the film, a few years probably after the film, the director was asked for a Q&A. So going to what the director had to say about his Q&A about the film, writer William Peter Blatty sat on write a nonfiction story on an exorcism that happened to a 13-year-old boy at a psychiatric clinic in 1949. So this is this, he's pretty much talking about the story behind The Exorcist. However, he had to dramatize the story when it became too challenging to get specific details on what happened. Because when you're going into like a story based on like children, it's just a lot of details can tend to get blurred out and over-dramaticized. So he just had to make up and redo someone's scenes. So those who did not speak to Blatty requested that the actual experience of the possession, and he had to change the identity of the boy to a girl. So that's why the girl is the main character of the film, which as for the character that it's based on is actually a male. the filmmaker actually never met the boy, but did speak with the child's family, who described telekinetic activity surrounding the child during his apparent possession. So in tying back to many scenes in the film, one of the main crazy scenes that I thought was pretty crazy was the child's bed does shake and move, and the child does float in one of the scenes. And so that could be tied into the parents and family members' telekinetic activity surrounding the child, which can be very scary if you saw that in real life. I know I would be horrified if I saw that. Which makes this even scarier is that the family was reported Lutheran and the clinics. And when they went to their own pastor at the Lutheran church, it was actually their priest who recommended they see a priest, which is actually crazy. Friedkin said, it's not that anyone in the medical profession actually believed a demon was the problem, but they thought the power of suggestion might help the boy if he thought it was an actual possession. So a priest named Father William Bodern reportedly performed the ceremony with a younger priest named William Harrowlin assisting. So those are our two characters based in the actual film. So according to Friedkin, there may be the truth of demons and possession. However, he doesn't pretend to know for sure. He did quote, I did this film because I believe in the story. This film was made by a believer, The film, to me, is about the mystery of faith, Friedkin said. I know it's voted this and that horror film, but to me, it's about the mystery of faith. And that actually is very well spoken by the Mr. Friedkin, because our main priest character is actually struggling with the ideal of faith. He does question his faith throughout the film. And it's not until he actually sees the exorcism take place and the actual demon possessing the child, he actually becomes part of the religion. He actually becomes more faithful to his religion and actually completes the exorcism, which is actually crazy. When I was doing my research, I found some really crazy facts, like hidden movie details and stuff that happened behind scenes. But these weren't actually like, I don't really know if these are true facts, but I just wanted to throw these in just to get some what your guys' thoughts on it was. So going into more unlikely facts about the movie, I found during these scenes where Father Cars visits his mother in Bellevue, many of the other women featured in the background were real mental patients at the time. Some of the scenes were even filmed by using hidden cameras. So if you are rewatching the film, if you watch the scene closely, you'll be able to see them milling around the place as Father Cars enters. It helps gain the scene a better sense of realism and makes Bellevue feel like an actual hospital. I don't really know if that would be true. Scenes that could be very not good for the mental patients' families, or just not being great for those people in general. But another great thing I actually found on multiple websites was that director William Friedkin also had no qualms about going the extra mile to get the reaction he wanted from the actors in The Exorcist. Apparently, the actors said he would shoot he would actually fire guns behind them to startle them, to really get them into the scared emotions. Like Jason Miller recalled Film Buff Online, Friedkin's a lunatic. He shoot guns off behind actors' heads to get a surprise out of them. He's not very respectful to actors. He's afraid of them. He doesn't understand the progress. I don't know if that's true. It did come from an actor, but I feel like that would really have a lot of lawsuits behind that if it did happen. But what am I to know? I wasn't born in the 70s. So going on to the aftermath of The Exorcist. So during the major hype of the horror franchise, The Exorcist would go on and have four other films, two of which are prequels. Looking at box office success and how much these other films are talked, you can see that the other films did not really do well or even come close to the first film. And that's also very similar to other horror franchises. If you look at all these other franchises like Halloween, Friday the 13th, Nightmare on Elm Street, Chucky, Scream, these horror franchises don't do really that well after their first movie when it's a big hit. But which is also really enticing, even though it had all these terrible movies, The Exorcist still stayed in people's minds and still is considered the most scary movie to watch. And that just shows how much this movie actually scarred people back then. Not only that, but The Exorcist had a very significant influence on popular culture and has received critical acclaim, with several publications regarding it as one of the most, again, the greatest horror film ever made. The Exorcist set box office records that stood for many years, for almost half a century, until a 2017 adaptation of Stephen King's It, which I did watch and was very good, but sadly I won't be getting into it. It was the top grossing R-rated film in 1999. The Sixth Sense finally bested The Exorcist as the highest grossing supernatural horror film. It still remains in third place after reclaiming this title at well. On both charts, The Exorcist, along with Blair Witch Project, are the only 20th century releases in the top 10, which is actually scary, especially since horror movies don't really do that well compared to other big action budget action movies. But what are my thoughts on The Exorcist? Well, as someone who watches a lot of horror movies, I will say The Exorcist is not as scary as the movies today with all their CGI and better film quality, but I still think The Exorcist does hold up into the storytelling and practical effects environment that happened on sets, just because of how it was filmed and when it was filmed. It really does hold up to films today with practical effects, but you can really see evolution and strides in technology. But and I believe that the stories that happened on the set, going back to what happened in the nine deaths and all the stuff that happened behind the scenes, I believe that that does make the movie feel much more scary to watch, since you do have that kind of story to tell behind it. And that is why I wanted to learn about the true story behind this great horror film, because it did such a great impact on horror franchises and movies in general. And that is why I decided to talk about this great movie. So I'm your host, Mr. Sleep, and I'll see you next time on Clawing Through the Mask, and we'll be talking about another great movie of mine. So just you watch out and look out for that. Thank you.